Welcome on in, everybody. It is Tuesday, October the 1st, here on Sports Talk. Getting ready for a little Pelicans Power Hour before we head into the 7 o'clock hour, which will be the Saints Hour. Mike Haas will have on some special guests with him, along with Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, along with former defensive tackle Mike Golick, Super Bowl champion Jonathan Stinchcomb, and former DN Chris Long. Tonight, also a special guest in Gary Barbaro, former NFL safety for the Kansas City Chiefs and the first player from Nichols to be selected in the NFL draft, plus Jim Miller, former NFL QB and co-host of Moving the Chains on Sirius Radio. Don't miss it. It's the Saints Hour that's coming up at 7 o'clock after we do a little bit of our Pelicans Power Hour, Charlie. The Pels obviously going through their media day yesterday, and boom, you blink, and they are in training camp mode now. They are not local for training camp, which I know it's a little disappointing, but that's what happens when you got renovations going on at the facility. So interested, we'll be doing plenty of check-in on the Pelicans as they get ready for the regular season. And hard to believe that, you know, we're knee-deep in football right now. We're not much thinking about NBA, but we got preseason basketball Monday afternoon.
Yeah, and we're just over 3 weeks away until the opener against the Bulls, regular season opener.
Bulls.
Yeah, no, it's coming up. So it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to talking to Chris and kind of getting the latest and greatest from the Pelicans and what's going on at training camp. Day one happening today on the campus of Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. So, yeah, as you said, they're not local this year, but that's okay. Apparently some great work got in early on, kind of not necessarily installing too much because it is just day one of training camp.
Right.
But as far as, you know, the early kind of returns from DeJounte Murray and his defensive prowess, which every Atlanta, you know, Hawks fan will wants to tell all the Pelicans fans, oh, he's an overrated defensive player. He's not, you know, that good defensively. Oh, he was playing next to a traffic cone on defense and Trae Young. I don't think that Herb Jones, who was a first-team All-NBA defender this past year, is necessarily that bad. So I am so, so excited specifically about
exciting times for the Pels.
The defensive backcourt possibilities, DeJounte Murray and Herb Jones, and what they can do to opposing guards in the Western Conference specifically, but just around the NBA as well.
Yeah, hearing from some of the players, obviously, to media day, everybody looking forward to the start of the season. Zion Williamson, obviously, the biggest attention. I got a small clip of him as he gets ready for the regular season, looking trims, lost 15 pounds. Here's what Zion had to say at yesterday's media session at the Smoothie King Center.
What was your perspective on the DeJounte Murray trade? How long have you gotten to know him? How long have you known him, that kind of thing?
So I already had like a relationship with DeJounte before he got traded here, and since he's, you know, been a part of the team on and off the court, he's shown why he's an important piece, like, already. So I'm glad we got that piece and looking to build off that.
And beyond DeJounte, just overall, what's your feel about just where the roster is now, some of the changes y'all made over the summer, and just where the team is going into the season?
I'm excited where we're at. And, you know, I think training camp will be kind of a, I'm not going to say a tell-all, but kind of let us know where we are as a team.
What are you working on, or what areas can you continue to still, I guess, produce and show my game still has tremendous growth?
You know, kind of taking what the defense gives me, but not because they gave me the shot, but because, you know, I saw the look they try to give, and I found a spot, and I got to it. That's why that kind of goes back to when I said just working smarter, not trying to force my way into something. Just, you know, see what the defense, how they're guarding, and then work from there.
Obviously, you haven't been able to play in the playoffs yet, but the way last year ended, how much has that been a driving force for your offseason work ethic?
It's been a big driving force because, you know, even when it happened a lot of time, my emotions, I was instantly frustrated because, you know, you just feel like you work so hard to get to a good point and then something like that happened. And it's rough, but you just got to find a way to get back up, you know, and make some shape.
You mentioned DeJounte, that he's already shown why he's an important piece from what you've seen this offseason. Can you kind of expound upon that in terms of what you've seen from him leadership-wise or even on the court?
He's a vocal guy. He's pretty straightforward, and he's a hard worker. So, you know, when you have a guy like that who has the abilities he has and he's all of those things, you know, you can't help but be an important piece to the team. So, you know, in time, as time goes, you know, the world will see why he's an important piece because, I mean, he's just that kind of player.
you talked before about being judged by wins and losses, but purely from based on what you're doing on the court, what do you think it's going to take for you to take your game to that next level?
Honestly, man, you kind of answered the question for me. I got to win. When you win, you know, how you got there and what you did, they factor that in when you're talking about, like, individual, like, players and stuff. But I feel like when you win, it cures all because, you know, everybody aspires for the same thing. That, you know, at the end of the season, you know, you want your team to be crowned champions.
Zion ain't lying there, Charlie. We know that with the Saints as well,
just
too.
Win.
Winning cures all.
Just win. And Zion knows that. I mean, he's been very outward about how disappointed he's been that he hasn't been able to play in either of the Pelicans' recent playoff runs. So,
hard to believe this is year five now? Year six?
Year six.
Because he missed an entire season.
Yeah. So technically year five as far as getting him on the
right.
floor. But yeah, the injuries have been there for him. They've been a concern throughout his career. At the same time, you know, all the buzz about this team and this roster specifically, and we'll get more into this with Chris Dodson when we start digging into it. They've got so much talent at certain positions, right? Like, you got tons of depth at guard and at wing. The center spot's kind of the issue, but from what we've heard from Willie Green, he's going to see how the guys play together basically throughout training camp practices and see how everything kind of meshes and then go from there. From what I've been gathering, basically, from this entire, you know, early media days and day one of training camp, and granted, it is just day one, so there's still plenty of time, it feels like the starting five for this roster is going to be a little bit more fluid, right? You're not going to have a set starting, you know, one through five.
Right.
Like, it will depend on matchups. You know, some nights you may have Daniel Tice in the starting lineup as a center, a true center. Other nights you may have that small ball lineup starting. And then, you know, there's also something to be said about, like, is it more important for a starting five versus a closing five? You know what I mean? Where you could definitely see a lot of closing lineups where they play those small ball lineups with, you know, probably Trey Murphy involved as well. I played that in the Sports Flash. He talked about how he feels like he's a starter. But as long as you're closing and getting plenty of minutes, like, you're playing a very crucial, you know, important role on this Pelicans roster. So it really all kind of depends on what Coach Green sees and the coaching staff and what they decide to do. But I could definitely see it kind of being like that, Steve, where it's not necessarily a set starting five that will kind of change from game to game depending on matchups.
It was nice to see, too, the Pelicans giving Jose Alvarado a brand-new contract. Obviously been a key piece to the defensive end of this squad with what he's able to put the pressure on opposing teams. And, you know, we all know Grand Theft Alvarado, the ability to take away the basketball at those opportune times. Just happy for him getting, what was it, a two-year deal?
Two-year, $9
million. $9 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So you're looking at that 2021 draft class, which is one of the greatest, if not the greatest draft class in Pelicans history, and you've paid Jose, you've paid Herb Jones, and there's one last piece of the puzzle that needs to get paid, and that's Trey Murphy. And Trey also talked a little bit about that at Pelicans Media Day. He said that he's not really sweating it, Steve. He's kind of waiting for something to get done. He's preparing for potentially if it doesn't get done. The deadline to extend Trey Murphy, and once again, we'll talk more with Dodson about this,
right,
is October 23rd, I believe. So there's still, or October 21st. So it's still about a couple weeks until we get to that point. But Murphy kind of compared his situation to like Devin Vassell of the San Antonio Spurs, where, you know, it's a guy that's not necessarily getting that rookie max extension, but a guy that's going to be upwards of $100 million on his next contract. So it takes a little bit of time to figure out the logistics of that and how they can make it work and have both sides be happy. But for Trey Murphy, he's reemphasized multiple times that he loves being in New Orleans. He loves his teammates. He loves the organization. And obviously he wants to get something done, and we'll hopefully see something get done because Trey Murphy is a core building block of this roster.
Pelicans, winners of 49 games last year. It's pretty hard to believe,
yeah,
you know, when you look back on things, and obviously a huge disappointing ending to how the season went with the, you know, postseason and all, not having Zion around was a big disappointment. I know he was frustrated by it. Fans were frustrated as well, especially had such a great year, really.
It kind of gets swept under the rug because of how it finished.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a reason why there's a ton of hype for this team entering the year. And some people are potentially calling them West sleepers. Steve, if they stay healthy, I don't think there's anything sleeper about them. I think they have a legitimate, awesome squad. I can't wait to cover them all year.
Yeah, excited to have them part of WWL Radio now this season. Plenty of Pelicans action right here. We're having a Pelicans Power Hour today. Going to take a break. And when we get back, Chris Dotson, who covers the Pels for Clutch Points, will join us talking all things about what happened at Media Day. And also, like I mentioned, preseason game number one on Monday. An afternooner right before the Saints play on the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. We'll be back right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, the first day of October, and that means NBA season is just around the corner. We'll be starting the regular season at the end of the month. Training camp going on right now. Talking all things Pelicans, and we're covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points. Chris Dotson joins us right now here on WWL. How you been doing, Chris?
Oh, man, been doing great. Ready for the season to start. Hope y'all been doing just as good as the rest of the team sounded yesterday.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it, man, and definitely looking forward to this season. Another Pels squad coming into fruition after a 49-point win season. Me and Charlie kind of talked about it a bit. Seems to get overlooked a lot what the team was able to accomplish last season. Obviously, the way it ended, nobody really cared for. It was a bit of a disappointment. You dealt with the injury with Zion Williamson at the end of the year. But overall, I think that your hopes and dreams and aspirations for this team have to be pretty high going into this season, especially what they can do in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, and I might date myself here, the original Bad News Bears. This Pelicans team, from just talking with them, I did a feature on Trey Jemison a couple weeks ago that come out. It's kind of like it's the Bad News Bears. Yeah, they got the trophy for a 49-win season, which is great in New Orleans. But this locker room feels like they're throwing that back and they want some more, and that's just exciting to hear from a fan perspective.
Looking at, you know, Zion Williamson going into this season, hard to believe it's now year six for him. Obviously missed the season of play due to injury, but 24 years old now, and I think we saw last season, obviously, too, that maturity is there. He really cares about his conditioning, looking to improve his game even more going into this year. Really excited to see what this season brings about in the development and the maturation of Zion on and off the court.
Yeah, hey, look, I got hired to come on and start Pelicans coverage, you know, when Zion got drafted. I mean, okay, as soon as he was drafted, somebody called up, hey, we're here. Yeah, it is hard to believe it's 6 years. But he's still just 24, and I think people have not given him enough credit for growing into the job, so to speak. And then if you want to look at how he approached this summer, he was finally healthy, but he was also a father for the first time. And anybody out there listening, I'm not a pop, but it sounds like that'll really change a man, and I think that kind of got his attention. He, you know, went into the offseason knowing that this season he wants the playoffs again, but there's going to be a lot more pressure because he is 24 and 6 years and all that. He's still a young man. There's a lot of pressure on him, but I think he's finally at a juncture in his life where he knows how to handle all of those responsibilities better than ever, and that'll pay off for New Orleans in the long run.
Chris, the addition of DeJounte Murray, we talked to you about it when obviously the trade went down with Atlanta. It was a huge blockbuster moment for this squad. But now that he's here and we're finally getting our first look at him at training camp, you know, all the early reports were how many balls he was kind of getting deflected on defense. And I know that a lot of Hawks fans will kind of undersell his defensive prowess. And that just kind of makes me annoyed because he was playing next to someone like Trae Young, who quite literally is a traffic cone defensively. So, but playing next to someone like Herb Jones, and we'll get kind of into the lineup questions with you because I know that Willie Green's been answering a bunch of them early on since the start of media day and then obviously day one of training camp as well. But the potential for a defensive backcourt of DeJounte Murray and Herb Jones is just really exciting to me.
I mean, is there a better one in the world? Literally, is there a better one in the world? And I would have a hard time finding. Maybe in Minnesota if Ant and McDaniels are doing their thing. But if Murray and Jones are really going at it on defense, there are going to be some nights where I don't think teams are going to reach 90 points if both of those guys go in with a point to prove. And we've seen it before in the NBA, even in this pace and space era. Some teams can just have a stinker of a night. I think there's going to be a lot of teams having stinkers of a night, because Murray and Jones is just going to have them locked up in jail.
More on curious with the Brandon Ingram situation. How are things going to progress going into this year? Because I know there's still a lot of questions. Is he going to be sticking around? They're going to maintain him with a spot on this roster? And just even if they do end up keeping him around, Where does he fit kind of in the flow of this offense?
I'm glad y'all asked these two questions back to back, because Murray and Ingram, I mean, look, when Lonzo was in town, Ingram was at almost six threes a game. We finally have another point guard again. We're going to have to give him a little bit of credit that there's a blank slate. He talked about how Team USA gave him so much trouble. Kerr kind of got him off his confidence. His game wasn't right. Last season, the team, I mean, they had a bunch of injuries. It was still going to be hard to get some rhythm even in a 49-win season. But with Murray here and Ingram on the wing and listening to him talk at training camp just a few minutes ago, it sounds like he's going to find his way into more three-pointers just because there will be that much talent around him that puts him in those spots. The last few years, he's had to put himself in his own spots, and nobody here can blame him for wanting to get to where he's most comfortable. We do all do the same thing in our jobs. Get to where you're most comfortable and try and get paid. Last season, that's what Brandon Ingram tried to do. He didn't get paid. He didn't get to the spots the team wanted him to, but I think now he's got the supporting cast, the support system around him, and Murray setting the table for him, that he'll be able to go ahead and go out to that three-point line two, three more times a game, and that's all the Pelicans really need.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Chris. And then, you know, the sharpshooter with Trey Murphy. Obviously, the Pelicans extended Herb Jones last offseason. They extended, you know, Jose Alvarado basically over the weekend. They locked down two of the key members, obviously, of that historic 2021 draft class, the best in Pelicans history. But there's still that one last remaining member that needs to get paid, and that's Trey Murphy. And obviously, Chris, we've talked to you about this a bunch. He's a core member and a core building block of this team and roster. He's talked ad nauseum about how much he loves being here, how much he loves his teammates. They want to get something done. They want to figure something out. But there is the monetary aspect of it. And I know that this was pretty interesting to hear him kind of compare his situation to Devin Vassell in San Antonio, where Vassell basically was he's not a max player necessarily, and Trey Murphy isn't either as far as getting that rookie scale contract extension, but you're still looking at $100+ million for this player. So it's some logistics behind it that have to be figured out. But the Pelicans obviously want to and need to get something done with Trey Murphy before that deadline, which I think is on October 21st.
Yeah, it's on the 21st. They have plenty of time to figure out this number. There may even be a few other contracts that hit on the market that the Pelicans can use as a data point. But look, Trey Murphy, it's going to be hard for him to turn down $120 million for 4 years. I mean, his mom would get on Twitter. His mom's been in the press room to call him out for missed free throws. I don't think he can walk in and say, "Mom, they come happy for 116. I wanted $121 million." I think I know how that conversation is going to go when that contract will get signed. And that's where I think it's going to wind up, is a little bit less than what Brandon Ingram was making this year, somewhere in the $29 to $32 million range, 4 year, $120 million, call it a day, call it in, ring it up. And I don't think anybody can complain about that, because that contract will still look very good at $30 million in 2 years when the cap is just so much bigger and they've got so much more space to work with.
Another guy, hard to believe, or, you know, Willie Green era, you know, started in 2021. Look where we are now. What are things that the coach has worked on, I guess, to improve his game, his lineup rotations, as we go into, it feels like this is such a critical year for this Pel squad.
It's real critical. And, I mean, we've seen Willie Green fight his way through 1-12, 3-14. He's fought his way through some stuff. And I think if y'all haven't seen it, Brandon Ingram, I believe, leaked the starting lineup. We'll be that small ball with Herb and Zion as the four and the five. Willie Green's just going to have to work through some of the troubles of not having a center that everybody else is comfortable with.
Okay.
But Daniel Tice has looked great. Trey Jemison, when I talked to him, he said he might be the strongest person on the team. And that was before we seen a slimmed-down Zion. So this team has some options at center, and considering they're only going to need about 22, 24 minutes a night from a traditional center, I think they've got plenty of options over there. And if Carlo doesn't work out, I think Carlo will be your trade throw-in with, say, a Hawkins and a couple of second-round picks, and that's when you go get Kessler, in my opinion.
Yeah, so real quick, with the center position, that's a great point that you brought up, because, you know, the depth at guard and the depth at wing is elite, and then the center spot's a little bit of the question mark on this roster. But at the same time, you know, yes, the small ball lineup's there. It seems like what Coach Green has been mentioning, though, throughout media day and obviously the first day of training camp, is that he's still kind of waiting and seeing how these lineups look and how these players kind of look when they're playing together, like on the floor, getting this live action throughout training camp and obviously into the preseason and stuff like that. But as far as, you know, I want to ask you about the fluidity of it, because it feels like this could be a roster that will be putting out different starting lineups. Like, it's not going to be a set small ball lineup for every game that they play. There might be games where you have Daniel Tice as the starting five. Now, how many minutes will he play? I think that's a little bit of a different question. And you can also obviously debate the difference between the importance of a starting lineup versus a closing lineup. But I think it is something worth considering that, you know, maybe it won't be a set five necessarily, that it could change a bunch.
Yeah, I think it'll be like three different starting lineups, mostly with Herb at the five or, you know, Zion at the five, however they want to configure that small ball lineup and defend it. But there's going to be some nights you have to go a little bit bigger, because if you look at the conference, you got Wembanyama, you got Chet, you got AD still out there. Somebody's going to have to bang with. You can't always go small. I'd hate to see AD and Herb go at each other because they both get injured. I mean, we both know that. So it's going to be two or three different starting lineups. I know Coach said he wanted to find a consistent one. But, yeah, it'll come down to that closing lineup. And the fluidity of it is you've got a bunch of guys who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". You shouldn't need a traditional center in the pace and space era. You don't need a big guy down there blocking shots. You just need somebody that can alter shots, that can contest shots. And if Trey's not that guy, he shouldn't get his money. But he's 6'9". According to Coach and Bryce and Graham, according to Trey, 6'10".
Right.
But if Trey, if we want to give you that extra inch, you got to go do a little bit of extra effort down there and rebounding. I mean, that's the same thing what they said, not to change the subject too much. But Jordan Hawkins, that's about the only way he's getting on the court is rebounding. The only way Trey can go ahead and earn his money is to rebound and play a little bit more defense down on that low block. And if he can do that and then switch off from the weak side and then run the transition to that opposite corner three, I don't see any way to stop that. If Trey's playing good defense down low and then getting run out threes, it's over. It won't be close. You won't need a closing lineup. Your closing lineup will be three fans and two G Leaguers. That'll be fine.
Yeah, that's all you need when you have a 30-point lead. And we saw that at times last year. And specifically, Trey Murphy and his rebounding, I thought it got better at the end of last season. Chris, I don't know if you kind of agree with that, but it felt like at times late in the season when, you know, they plugged him in kind of the smaller ball lineup, so to speak, that he did a great job and he held his own as far as a rebounder. But the thing that's so exciting about this roster is, you know, you talked about the athleticism and the length of some of these players. You mentioned Trey Murphy, but also Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, like all these wings that the Pelicans have. They have a glut of them, but they have all this length. And obviously DeJounte Murray getting added to the roster as well as kind of a bigger guard. It's so enticing to see what this team can do defensively, which is obviously Willie Green's wheelhouse.
I'm glad you mentioned Trey getting better at rebounding. If y'all want to go back, clutchpoints.com. I just did something on the field goal percentages and how many shots per game will be taken and how that was going to break down. I'm also working on something looking at the core six, the big six is rebounding. And Trey did get better as a rebounder last year. He grabbed more rebounds per game over average. So for 80% of the time, he was a great rebounder. The times he got out-rebounded was every time we played Oklahoma City, including the playoffs, that four sweep, and against bigger teams like the Spurs. So he was a better rebounder in 80% of the games by a wide margin, but those 20% of the games you needed it, Trey kind of shrank. And I hate to say that, but that's just what the tape is showing me, and that's also what the numbers are showing me. Is he was great when the matchup was there for him, but if he had to work a little extra, it just wasn't happening. And I think he's realized that, and again, he's going to go into this season looking for something to prove.
Always appreciate your time, Chris, and your best guesstimation. What do you think is the ceiling for this Pel squad? I'm just hoping, obviously, we've talked about, I think, this a ton. I just want them to be out of the play-in tournament, be a top six team in the Western Conference. But overall, where do you think they is a realistic point they could ascend to? Is like a three seed possible for them?
Three is the absolutely highest I can give them. Oklahoma City is just going to run away with things. But the Clippers are going to fall. There's going to be some teams that fall. Minnesota's going to fall back to the pack. So I think 3, 4, 5 is possible. You could definitely be, you know, hosting a game 7 at home in the first round if you really needed it to. But, I mean, I think this team's fighting for 5 and 6. They're really going to be in a battle to get that last, you know, get out of that last playing spot and get into the top six. But, yeah, I could see a third seed coming out of this New Orleans team.
Thank you, Chris. You can follow him at Doing It Dotson on Twitter. Also, check out his work at Clutch Points. Always appreciate the time, Chris. Have a great day, man.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Dotson covering the Pels for Clutch Points. Like I said, check out his work there. We're going to take a break. When we get back, hear what head coach Willie Green had to say at the training camp practice number one today. Have a little clip of that right after this on WWL. First day of October, first day of Pelicans training camp. Head coach Willie Green spoke to the media afterwards. Here's some of the clips of what he had to say as the Pels get ready for the season.
What was just focus for you guys on day one? What you trying to get done today?
The focus was, you know, really going over our principles, defense, offensively and offensively, how we want to play, both ends of the ball, and you know, looking at tweaking different lineups, just seeing what we want to, you know, what guys we want on the floor, and what it's going to look like tonight when we come back and play. So no live work tonight, today, just more drip feeding our concepts.
Yeah, and you said yesterday, hey, look, the lineups, guys are going to figure it out in camp. We're going to figure that stuff out in camp. I mean, what does that process look like? I mean, what data do you need to see? What do you do to tell you these are the lineups we need to put out there?
Well, we'll watch a lot of film starting tonight when we come back and play. We'll have some positionless groups on the floor, small ball lineups, whatever we want to call them. We'll get some lineups with the fives out there, and we'll get a look at it. What teams are playing well together, what teams we need to mix it up some and kind of work from there.
I think Bryson threw out, hey, look, the Warriors, you know, are like the example of like the success you play in sport. Are there other teams you look at of like these guys have had success, you know, throwing out some of these really versatile wing heavy lineups and things like that?
Well, yeah, Boston comes to mind right away. Most of their guys play on the perimeter, even though Horford and Porzingis, you know, are sort of fives, but they play more positionless basketball, and that's a team that jumps up right away. But, you know, it kind of started with the Warriors. You know, they were one of the first teams, at least in the last 10 or so years, that played more small ball basketball.
Is it a good problem to have knowing you got to kind of figure things out on the go here, that you got so many good players and most of those guys just start for other teams or on this team that you figure it out as you go?
Yeah, it is. It's a good problem. We got a really good group, high character guys. They understand that everyone wants to play. Everyone will get an opportunity at some point, and you know, we'll continue to work at it.
I'm wondering what your conversation has been with Brandon Ingram over the offseason about. I know, look, we know he's a mid-range king, but getting more three-point shots up, because that's where this game is right now.
Yeah, we've talked about it for sure. He understands that. He knows it. It's something that he's been working on this offseason. And I'm sure he's eager to put his game on display, but it's something that he'll, you know, he'll continue to work through.
Is it hard to change a game like that a little bit?
No, it can be. You know, it just depends. But I think EI is smart enough. He understands the concepts of how we want to play. He understands how to maximize his scoring opportunities. But, you know, it does take time to adjust.
I have an open-ended question here, but do you know what Zion's potential is?
I don't think any of us really know his potential. I mean, I feel like it's unlimited. His ability, his IQ, the work ethic that he's put in this summer, it's allowed him to come back, and he looks fantastic so far. And, you know, sky's really the limit for him. And, we want to continue to put him in positions to be extremely successful.
Glad to finally get out here to Nashville and get started.
Yeah, we were. You know, good to get on the floor and good to get moving, and we want to continue to build in the right way.
Really, it was the first time being able to see DeJounte with this group here as well. Obviously, a lot of fans can't wait to see offensive side. We're counting how many times hands on the ball, steals. What he's going to bring on the defensive side is something.
It's going to be fun to watch. Having DeJounte and Herb on the floor together, two all-defensive players, guys that are leaders, that are tough, and then offensively, you know, he's looking to be one of the league leaders in assists. You know, he understands the weapons that he has on the wing. You got Zion, you got CJ, you got B.I., Herb, Trey coming into the game. We got to put some work in, but there's a ton of potential on this team.
Head coach Willie Green talking after the first Pelicans practice of training camp. And, man, you just rattle off the names. It's really exciting to see what's going to happen with all these pieces in place. How can they form together and really gel, obviously, is the biggest question right now. But, man, they've got the guys. They got the dudes in place.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, you know, how is it going to work out? Because the good problem to have is how do you figure out how to get all these guys on the court at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, you got, and as you mentioned, it's a good problem to have, and Coach Green has said that too, where they have like 7 to 9 guys that could be starting. Like, just think about that. That's the roster depth that they have, specifically at guard and wing, where you have DeJounte Murray, you have C.J. McCollum, you have Herb Jones, you have Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy, Zion
Williamson.
Is not
having that true center a worry for you, though, at all?
I mean, kind of, because, like, Dawson was mentioning a little bit, there are some centers that you'll have to be able to match up with in the Western Conference. So it is a little bit, like, it gives me a little bit of pause. But at the same time, when you have so many great things happening in the other areas of your roster that kind of make up for the deficiencies, I think you feel okay. Because as we mentioned, all those players I just rattled off, like, this is going to be a team that's got great defensive capabilities. As we mentioned, when Dodson had mentioned with DeJounte Murray and Herb Jones, is a potential defensive backcourt that's just going to be locking down.
Best in the world.
Yeah, guards like night in and night out. But also offensively, all the scores that you have top to bottom, and Coach Green mentioning the unlimited capabilities, the ceiling that he can't even figure out what it is for Zion Williamson. I mean, it's so exciting right now. And I know that this is optimism season, and this is where every NBA fan base, kind of similar to what we talk about with like the NFL during training camp. It's not, game one has not been played yet, so every fan base is optimistic. But for Pels folks and Pels fans, like, you should be optimistic about this team. I think that they have a ton of pieces in place to be fantastic this season. So.
Heck yeah, and I can't even stress how happy I am, and I know you are too, with that addition of DeJounte Murray is just so huge for this team. They needed the point guard, obviously.
Yeah, so for sure. I mean, they haven't had a true point guard probably since Lonzo. So, yeah, absolutely a huge addition. And on both sides of the ball, right? He makes everyone's job, quote-unquote, easier on offense, but he's also going to be, you know, playing next to a first-team All-NBA defender in Herb Jones.
Right, a thorn in the
and
side he's of everyone.
To, like, he's shown his capability to be an All-NBA defensive player. So those two together, oh, man, it's exciting stuff.
We're going to take a break and close things out as we get ready for the Saints Hour coming up at 7 right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Thanks all for tuning into Sports Talk this evening. We shall return tomorrow, full 4 to 8 slate tomorrow evening. Coming up next, stay tuned for the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, Wicked Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, coming up on the Saints Hour right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Have a great night, New Orleans.